You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I am going to introduce you to Victoria Carrington Chavez. You are going to love this. Victoria is a storyteller, and we talk about how that happened. Specifically, we talk about how she shifted from being the main character in her story to the author. Now, you might be thinking when I say that, you might be thinking to yourself, those are very pretty words and they sound very nice. But what do they mean, Amy? What do they mean? Don't worry. I ask her all about that so that you will really understand the change and the shift that she went through and how it all came together. Also, just for fun, there is a spot in this conversation where I sing the Carmen Sandiego song, the jingle from back in the day. Good times, you guys. Are you ready? Yes. Yes, you are. Let's go. Victoria Carrington Chavez, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat today?
Absolutely. I'm so excited. Thank you for having me, Amy.
Yay. All right. So I start all my interviews asking everybody what part of the world they call home. And I've been behind the scenes, a little peek behind the scenes. I've been like not letting Victoria tell me this answer for the whole pre-show chat. I was just like, hold on. So tell us where you are and where you call home.
So where I call home, I'm a digital nomad. And so I'm living my best Carmen Sandiego life. You might not know where in the world you'll find me, but I can tell you where in the world you'll find me today is actually in Dover, New Hampshire. And a big shout out to Upright Acupuncture for giving me a beautiful space to record this podcast in my travels.
That's fantastic. Dover, New Hampshire. Okay. All right. Very, very cool. So, and you just gave a shout out to, I think you're younger than me, but where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? That's like do kids still play that?
I mean, I played it. Kids still know the character, but I definitely played it. It was one of my favorite games growing up. I watched the TV show.
And where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
I mean, education, history, travel. Those are all a few of my favorite things.
Fantastic. All right. I love that. Okay. So that was an unplanned segue, but we're going to get into your story for a second. My next warm-up question is share with us something that is a compliment or a word of kindness that you have given somebody recently. It can be really small, but something that you've done to spread the love.
Yeah. So recently I started posting more on LinkedIn and really giving people shout outs when I see their creativity. And so there was a creator that she is crocheting a blanket pieces of a blanket every single day that reflects her feelings. So Shayla, I gave her a shout out and it just felt really, she said she felt loved, she felt seen and supported. And
very nice. So almost like I have a friend who does a weather, like she knits a line with the temperature every day. I think I might have that slightly wrong actually, but so she's crocheting and she's changing the pattern or the colors based on mood, like a mood chart, like creating a log. That's fascinating. That's very, very sweet. Okay. The topic of the day, not crocheting, but a time when you chose to shift in your life from being the main character in your story to the author. So this is a beautiful sentence, and I'm excited to talk about it. It's also a little bit vague as a distinct moment. Like I usually, you know, so I want to give you a chance. I'm going to walk you through explaining it. Are you up for that?
I am up for it.
All right, let's do it. I want to start with this. Okay, so in your pitch, you're talking about yourself and your story, you know, changing from main character to the author in your story. I would love for you to give some more light on that and explain. What are you talking about when you mean your story? Like, what does it even mean?
So to me, your story is the thing that you want to be. Like, think about when you were a kid, what was the thing you wanted to be when you grew up? Generally, the answers come from that pure place, that place of who we were before the world told us who we should be. And so when I talk about our story, it's our imagination, it's our creativity, it's our passions, it's our values. It's the thing that gets us up in the morning when the days feel heavy and hard. And I like to talk about the childhood place because like I said, it's generally the place where we're less influenced by outside forces. And
Yes.
so part of being a main character is kind of getting back to that true north, as some people call it, back to yourself, which for me, getting back to myself is where I've been for the last couple years in calling home a place on the road. But it didn't start out that way. And a few years ago, I was living somebody else's story. I
Okay.
not a digital nomad. I did not have my own business. And I was kind of doing what I was thought I was supposed to be doing, like, getting a house. I was engaged, and I was a K-8 Spanish teacher. And those are all wonderful, admirable things. But what I realized is those were not the things that woke me up in the morning excited for the passion of life.
All right, that's very good. So we're gonna go more into detail there. That might have felt like I jumped in there because I did. Okay, so I'm gonna ask you about the change, but to understand the change, first of all, I want to get like some background, really set the scene, right? So that we all have a better understanding of what was going on. So you gave me a timeline, a benchmark of when this happened in your age. So if I, which was right around when you turned 40 is when, right? So if we were to go back to when you were 35, and you may have hit on some of these things, this might be a teeny tiny bit of a repeat. Give us a full picture of what your life was like at 35, your professional life. It sounds like you were a K-8 teacher, the home situation, your health and happiness, your hobbies and stuff like that. Tell us what life was like then. So then we'll talk about making the change.
Yeah. So outwardly, it was perfect. It was the dream, the American dream, and that what people were seeking, right? And but inwardly, I remember I'd get off work at like at Friday afternoon, and I would just sit under a weighted blanket. And some days I would cry, and then I wouldn't be able to really do much besides sit on the couch, binge watch things. Health-wise, stress eating. I was super unmotivated to really draw, to create. Like, I've always been a painter and an illustrator. And I just really felt like I was living somebody else's life. But I was being told, nope, you're 35, you're checking the metrics of success. You have a career, you have a 401k, you have a fiance,
You're on the path. Go to school, get an approved job, get married, have kids, raise the kids, and somewhere magically, contentment and fulfillment is supposed to show up. And I think that for some people it probably does.
True.
But I talked to a lot of other people who realize that they're checking off these boxes on the path. They need to take a detour. So I do talk to a lot of people about that. All right, so the shift we're talking about, was happened right around when you were 40, I think. So at 35, you describe it as you were living somebody else's life. Did you, this is not a perfect question because it requires like reflecting on your mindset then, even though you're not then anymore. But how aware were you of that at that point? Like now you have the words to describe it, but in the moment, did you really have any idea of how to describe that as living somebody else's checklist or what was going on?
Yeah, at the time, no. I mean, at the time, I was thoroughly convinced that I was happy. And I realized, like, every morning I would have to like hype myself up and like do the pep talk of like, you're happy, like play this happy character, okay? And it's so interesting when you look back in pictures. And at the time, I was also rising as a content creator, and it's been surreal to have some of my audience that has followed me through most of that journey, and they're like, you look so different. We literally watched you transform in front of our very eyes. So like, I think when I started really seeing myself in those pictures back then, even if I didn't have the words, I had a visual to say, wait, I don't recognize this woman looking back at me in this picture. I don't recognize this woman looking at me in the mirror. I know that she's me, but she doesn't feel like me.
Okay, so not as a form of judgment or evaluation, but to help somebody who might be in a similar space, what did you have any sense of like discontent or overwhelm or sadness at that point? Like how would like in the moment, what did you think was going on?
So in the moment, I thought it was more of maybe it's me, maybe I'm the problem, like the Taylor Swift song. And
Right.
so I just thought if I work harder
Yeah.
at being a good, happy character in this life that I should be happy about, then I'll be happy. Like it's gonna like I was like, that's how mindset works. Like I felt like, like I'm just gonna think lovely thoughts. And I didn't realize, but like I said, some of the indicators were I wasn't going into my favorite hobbies. Like
Yeah.
I grew up in Colorado, avid hiker, wasn't hiking, wasn't even really walking, would send her weighted blankets, I'm not creating. And so I just thought, like, I feel like some people might also relate. Let me just make sure my partner's happy, and then I'll be happy, and then it's all
Okay.
gonna work out. That's not what
Yeah.
happened.
I think there's two things that are coming up for me with this. One is there's like a really old joke that has been around like for like most of my life, which is like where you run into it, like it's like a an aunt or a grandmother that's like, and she's like they're like you look so much happier. She's like, yeah, I thought I was depressed. It turns out that I just needed to divorce my husband of 35 years, right? It's like, it's a terrible joke, right? It's a terrible joke because it really pushes on somebody else. But it did come to mind when you were saying that. And the other thing was that there is like right now in 2025, there's like a social media thing where people are like, I thought I was, I thought I was sick, but what I did was I needed a change. I need, right? And it's this thing that's going on. I think that it's interesting because we want to believe that we're not the person who's going to turn this in on ourselves and score ourselves against an old-fashioned checklist. And yet I think that it's hard to pick it up in the moment. I think that it's hard to think to yourself to realize that what's going on is, that you're really listening more than you want to external forces. I just want to honor the fact that in the moment, it feels like, you should work harder at the job and harder at the house and harder at the kids. That's my guess. I'm not a professional advisor to be able to say that. Okay, so let's talk more about the words we're using and stuff like that. Okay, so when you say that you were the main character, or you are the main character, and this is in somebody else's story, what are the other options that are out there? Like, so when did you come to this realization that you would define yourself as a main character or an author? And what are some of the other options that might have been there?
Yeah, and so I feel like a lot of times, so belonging has been a big theme in my journey, right? So when we're kind of in those spaces where we're being side characters in our own story,
Okay.
it's because we want to belong, and that's understandable. We might put ourselves in these situations like checked off these boxes that I didn't even know if I truly believed in, but I also wanted to belong and feel connected. And so for me, and I think that this happens, I've heard this for other people as well, like you can make the choice, or at times, sometimes the choice is made for you. And you
Yes.
have, so I had a situation where the choice was made for me. And I had a plot twist of a telenovela variety. I had found out that I was not the only person. In my fiance at the time's life. And
Oh, really? That
so,
is tele
yes,
that is telenovela worthy. That
telenovela.
is worthy. That is worthy.
And so I had a decision. I was like, and honestly, I think it was that window of opportunity. And many times the heartbreaks, the layoffs, the redirections that feel so uncomfortable are those detours that are really those off ramps. And that's what it was for me, was an off ramp to say, this isn't the life that I wanted. And what is the life that I want? That's what being a main character is. It's not like, let me come and take center stage. It's about taking my story, my values, and putting those things center stage in my life. Because I feel like I was so accustomed to putting other people's needs first. So, what does it look like when I create life by putting my wants, my values, my dreams, and those things first? That was that main character shift.
All right. That, I think that's a beautiful way to describe it. I also just want to give a shout out to the fact that, so your last name is Chavez. I live in Miami. The Telenoticia story, this is, there's a saying in Miami that, we are fueled by chisme. That was high quality chisme. It probably did not feel good at the moment in your life, but that's a story dropper. That's like a, like, that's like a thing. All right. So, at 40, there was a change. Is that the change? Is that the singular event that happened that got your attention? Was it your birthday, or was it a general, like, sort of wake up feeling call that was like, oh, this, I'm on the wrong path here?
I would say that was the lemons. I very much I love Beyonce, and so the Lemonade album, and I did live out that Lemonade feeling. That was the lemons. And then the change was really when I started to turn it those lemons into lemonade. It took a little bit of time. It took healing, like it took therapy. It took a lot of support. But after kind of the grieving process, I was like, okay, I'm about to be 40. I was being asked, when are you going to settle down?
People should never ask that question. That is on the list of things that people should just remove from the conversation list.
Like time's ticking. When are you going to? And at that point, I mean,
As
this
if you
is
had missed it, that you'd been alive for 40 years, as if you were unaware.
unaware, right? And I remember sitting there and going, but I tried that. And I like it, like heartbroken, like have just barely strung my heart back together. So you want me to try it again? And that's when I really sat down and I said, Victoria, what is the thing that you want to do with your life? Like, you're about to be 40. So instead of settle down, go after your dreams, go after the wild ones, go after the big ones. And I wanted to take a cross-country road trip by myself. And I wanted the freedom to do that. So I le leaned into starting my business and I started using the vehicle. Both the literal vehicle that I had and then the vehicle that I knew of, like content creation. And I started going on social media and telling my story. I actually used to make really cringy content about my breakup because that was how I was coping. That was how I was healing. And it was how I didn't feel alone. And that thing of belonging, I started to feel like I belonged. I started to feel connected from other people feeling inspired by my story.
So this is a really interesting twist to how we're telling it, because one of the things that's really interesting, like, so I think that from the beginning of time, probably people have known that there's a good feeling and sometimes a benefit for sharing the things that were going on, that are going on with other people. But in the last 5 to 7 years, the way human beings connect and establish community has dramatically changed. It could be longer, right? It could be longer. But there's a pretty big age division in how it's perceived, right? So even though my 86-year-old mother-in-law is online, funny story, she lost her Facebook login. And she came to me and she was like, can you help me get back on? And I made a snap decision. I was like, I don't. You know, it stresses you out. I just was like, I just totally punted and then convened with all the grandkids and was like, it's better for grandma if she's not on social media. And she went to the Apple store and got herself back on. So my evasiveness did not work. But anyway, there's this idea, the concept of building a community, a virtual community that is valid and strong and beneficial is actually something that gets people's attention. Right. Not everybody agrees that it's healthy. Social media is very, very much all thrown under the bus as a bad thing for a lot of things. I'm not here to defend social media or the people who own the companies, but I'd love to hear more about how you found support by sharing your story publicly and creating a sense of belonging and strength and support and all of the good things that come with other humans.
Yeah, so I started pouring because I wasn't being creative, and creation is a part of content creation. And
It
so I
is.
started using social media as a space to tell my story, and people would cheer me on. People would tell me their stories. They would tell me that they felt seen. There were women and men. There were some men too that were going through breakups, that were going through difficult transitions. And like I said, some of my audience got to really watch the glow up, the evolution. They got to watch the light come back into my eyes, and they got to start seeing me travel. And so these like cringy content TikToks turned into speaking opportunities. They
Oh,
turned
nice.
into brand deals.
So this was
And
on TikTok. This was on TikTok that people were finding you.
it was on TikTok, between TikTok and Instagram. That was where people were finding me at the time.
TikTok is a really, really good place for a breakup story, I gotta say. They do tend to get traction, and no, it's and I follow a fair number of travel nomad type people for inspiration and I'm a fan. All right, so I'm going to talk to directly the audience for a second, invite them into our conversation, and then we're going to come back and talk more about this. Talking to Victoria about a time when she changed the energy in her life from being the main character to the author, and what that meant and all those things. And I post a discussion question on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. So I invite everybody who's in the audience to come and engage with us. I'll be there. Victoria will be there. Other people from the audience will be having this conversation. It's super fun. If you don't have the links for the show on social, they're in the show notes. Shocker. All right, back to the conversation and where we were. So you're 40, you're getting some social pressure from the peanut gallery that this has changed. I don't know if you'd ever heard this, but psychologists actually have a word for those timeline changes in our life that do give us pressure, because it's like not necessarily always imaginary. It's like that 40 milestone, and some people feel it, 30, 50 can be a big one. So you were there, you were approaching it, you're going through it. Let's talk now about shifting from being main character energy to becoming the author of your story. And one of the things I'm curious of, because this is very well worded and this is not about the decision or anything, but did you come up with this shift like on your own, like as you were working through it in therapy and so on and so forth? Or did you have support and help in sort of figuring out what this change was that you were doing from like books or coaching resources or friends? Or where did this idea of switching to the author of your story come from?
It came from a variety of places. So yes, some of those coaches, some of the community that I was connected with, and then from like therapy. But where the real big shift in like being the author of your story came is when I was connected with Ashley Ojeda, who is a part of, she's a bestselling author of Jefa in Training, and it was
Oh.
a entrepreneurial book for Latinas who were starting businesses. And at the time, I was really starting. I had gone from my kind of corporate marketing job to now I'm on my own as a business. And
Does she
she,
live in Miami? I'm trying to think if whether or not I've read that book. There's
she
an
doesn't, there's, she doesn't live
okay.
in Miami, but there's a large Heffa hood, as we call it,
So I have
in
to look.
Miami.
Yeah, I have to look that up. So I consider myself a I am Whitey McWhiterson. Like I do not get to qualify as Latina on any checklist, but I think that living in Miami for 30 years gives me proximity, and I claim
Yes.
it.
Yes.
it's totally
I mean, you
like
knew about Cheese May.
I
Like,
knew.
you
Well,
can sit at the
yes.
table.
I can like so, but I do. I walk the line of like trying not to like culturally appropriate a culture that I cannot actually claim. But I'm gonna look it up and see, because it was a book a couple of years ago that was either this one or similar, and I remember the launch and the and all of the things. So I love that you threw that out, and I got like a funny expression on my face when you said Heffa in Training, because I was trying to like go back through my Swiss cheese memory and be like, wait a minute, have I read that book? All right, so you get this introduction, and she, and then you're off to the, you're stepping into entrepreneurship.
Stepping into entrepreneurship, and she was the one who really was like, She listened to my dreams and I said, I want to write, I want to speak. And she was like, all right, let's do it. And she invited me to one of her masterminds in Mexico with other Latina entrepreneurs. And one of my favorite of this is the shift was at the time I did not have a passport. This is a few years post-COVID and I had let it expire.
And also, it now takes like 6 months to get it renewed.
Yes. So it was when I booked the trip with my non-refundable deposit, I had 7 weeks until the trip. They were saying it was going to take 7 weeks at minimum. And I did it anyway. And that's where I think that shift from main character to author goes. And it says, I know what I want and I'm going to make it happen.
Okay.
And it's like this. There's something in that determination that I think reshapes so much around us.
I think it's a brilliant way to describe it. I say all the time that I really do believe that seeing the choices that we have is empowerment, right? It doesn't mean we're going to like the choices all the time. It doesn't mean that we're going to magically be able to do things that were impossible the day before, but being aware of the choice and working to be intentional on the choices or own them or whatever works out, I think is really, really important. So you get your passport. Post-COVID, I actually knew people who are flying from wherever they live, not where I am, but like they were doing crazy things like flying to New Orleans or flying to Atlanta to try and get into places that had offices. I mean, everything was just like, woo. It just super, hopefully it has organized itself again. All right. So that is a very specific shift. You sign up for a coach, you're following a mentor who is giving you directions, so on and so forth. Talk some more about some of the specific things that you were able to change in your life.
Yeah. So, and fun fact, my passport showed up in a week.
It did. That's a
A
really
week.
good, that's a
A
really,
week.
really good part of the story. I was actually in the post office mailing something, which I can't even think of why I would actually be in a post office now. And the poor person in front of me was like, "Hey, I need a passport photo." And in this, it's one of the post office in Miami where they usually will take your passport photo. But the person was like, "Yeah, our photographer, our passport person is like on leave and won't be back for like months." I'm not in this conversation. It's not happening to me, but I'm like, "Oh my God." And then she's like, "You can go to this other office in this other part of town where they might be open." I was like, this is not like this poor person is now on the like, like I just think that sometimes it can be an adventure. So you got yours back in a week. That's awesome. What other things did you change?
So I went on the retreat in Mexico. I started writing more. I intentionally started putting out the putting in the work to get a TEDx. I wanted to share my story on a TEDx stage. And within a year, I gave an international talk and then gave a TEDx 2 weeks later. And so to kind of go from, and remember how I talked about loving Carmen Sandiego to now I'm living my Carmen Sandiego life. I flew, I think last year, I flew 35,000 miles, 4 countries, 11 states. I created content all along the way. I made friends and community from all over the world. This year, I went into that. What is the big thing I wanted to do before I turned 40, or at least before, I can. And it was that cross country road trip, which I just finished a 7-month cross country solo road trip.
Oh, I love that. So, and your road trip that you did. So, I dragged my kids on a cross country road trip in 2020 or 2021, whatever. They were still in school and everything was shut down. And so we did much not like not 7 months. It was 6 weeks. But even with that, I still have the itch to like do a slower version, which will be by myself. And I will say, I don't know what kind of feedback you got from your community when you said you want to do a solo road trip across the country. I did like a test version not too long ago, where I was like, I'm going to take this solo trip. Some of the people in my community had opinions.
I mean, that's kind of the thing is when you start to, I think that that's the beautiful thing about main character and even becoming the author in your story, you are always going to find people with opinions and you recognize
I
the
like that
more,
you call it beautiful.
like, I mean, I'm a glass half full kind of girl if you hadn't got that. But the reality is like, you're always going to find people that have opinions. And then you recognize the only one that matters is really yours. And, you know, yes, be safe. Like, there, like, of course, safety was of the utmost importance, but that didn't stop me from doing the thing that I wanted to do. And I ended up giving a Creative Mornings talk about it and talked about how this has been a thing that had been calling to me since I was a teenager to be able to do that. And then to just say, yep, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna plan. I'm gonna put together resources. And to go from where I was 5 years ago, depressed on a couch, unsure if I was happy in my life, to now living a life that I feel like I don't need to escape from, like living the life of a life that I've continually dreamed of. It's just beyond like anything like I had ever truly, truly planned.
That's amazing. So, and then the way you're doing the cross-country road trip is, because there's a million different ways to do it, right? Is you are almost we would call this like slow travel. Like you are going from place to place, setting up a little Airbnb or hotel or guest stay. Okay, as opposed to renovating a school bus and driving and camping. Okay, so just inquiring folks want to know. All right, and so I'm going to ask you. You gave me the answer to this. Like, so today, I think. All right. So I actually watched your TEDx talk. I'll put the link to it in the show notes so that other people can. You and I checked. I was researching you. I was preparing for the interview. You call yourself now a storyteller, I think, is what you call yourself.
Yes.
All right. So very good. And this ties into your profession. Like this, you are now a professional storyteller. So at what point? The first question here is, at what point did you claim that as your profession?
Yeah, I mean, it was last year when I was working with one of my mentors, and she was like, "It's very clear you're a storyteller." And I said, "No, it's not." And when I looked at how I had viewed the world, how I had viewed social media, how I had used that to make connection, because stories help us connect. My TEDx is a story, it's sharing mine. And years of working in content creation and working as a consultant and helping other people share their stories, I realized that a lot of times people might get stuck in how did I tell my story? How do I tell it authentically? How do I? And there is a little bit of like, you don't just wake up one day and like, you know, say, hey, I'm the main character now. Like a lot of the shifts that I'm talking about have happened over years. There have been inner work and a lot of talking to the mirror and the pep talks. But what I realized is that people sometimes don't always see the brilliance in their story because we're just so used to living it.
Yes. No, I mean, one of my favorite expressions about it's very hard to see the label from inside the bottle. You're
Yes.
in the middle of it and it's not that you've done anything wrong or anything else,
Yes.
but it's impossible to see because you're doing the thing. It's a skill 100%. So I want to clarify, 'cause you said that you were working as a Spanish teacher. I think,
Yes.
all right. So, what did you didn't did what did you study in school? This is a totally nosy question. You don't actually have to tell me, but like, when I was putting together the questions, I was like, all right, I don't know that there's a storytelling like degree or a certificate. Like, what did you study in school?
So I have a degree in communications
Oh,
with
so
an
that
emphasis
counts.
in linguistics
Okay.
and Spanish language. So, and essentially like linguistics being, I geek out on all the different ways that we can talk to each other and all the different ways we communicate to each other and what is story, but the heart of that.
Oh, absolutely. No, very similar. So my degree is in journalism, so they officially called it mass communication. And then I studied French and had to do phonetics and all those things. So like I'm fascinated By the differences. One of the things that just really, really entertains me is when people get super hung up on there being only one way to say something or one way,
Oh, yep.
one word, or like a word can never change. And I just am like, I see your argument and I'm gonna go get my popcorn because I just find it entertaining. And whatever. So that is very good. So you actually, I would say that you had a pretty, official education. I'm sure you worked hard on telling your own story and using the tools for modern storytelling. All right. So in a minute, we're going to do the final fun questions. I want to give you a chance to talk directly to the audience and tell them about your business today, what you do, who you help. Share with us the name of your company for sure, the products and services you offer, and then you have an offer for the audience, and I'll come back and share that after you do that.
So what had started as Lilac at Aspen had I've evolved a secondary brand called The Story Saloon, and it is happy hour for your brand, for your story. I love your bottle analogy, and I really help people distill the power of their story. A lot of times people don't realize how powerful and resonant just being your authentic self can be. And sometimes we need support and a guide in helping us get there. We need somebody to reflect back what's inside the bottle. And that's what I help people do. And it's been really great to see the people, some of the people that I've worked on have gone on to give TEDx's. They've gone on to, secure some of the brand deals they're seeking. They've gone on to write the book, right? The thing that to tell their stories in all the different ways that their hearts desire. And I really feel like when we are telling stories and we are showing all of the different ways, like much like language, right? Like people will argue over this is the one way to say it, but you and I both know that there's multiple ways to communicate and to share a story. And the more that I help people be in that, the more just excited and hopeful I get. Like I literally wake up every day and I'm just excited to live my life. And 5 years ago, that was not my story. And today, I look in the mirror and I sometimes cannot believe the woman looking back at me because she was always there. And now I see her.
That's really, truly very beautiful. And it is true. One of my favorite things one of my favorite stories that I share about me with words is that words sometimes do change. So
Yeah.
I was standing at a tiki bar on a beach in Mexico, which aligns with you were there on a retreat. And I walked up in this, New York bar. He told me he was from New York, so I knew that New York bartender was like, "Hey, can I make you a bespoke cocktail?" And my brain broke in this moment because I was like, "That's not what that word means. That word is about tailoring clothes." And I was like, "Okay." And the reason it's so funny to me is that A, it didn't matter. I knew what he meant, like that he was going to make a custom thing. And also now, like it is the way we use the word. It just means like an artisan thing. It's totally shifted. So I could rail. I could be like, get off my yard, like, cranky person. Like, this is not what it means. All right. Do you have a special offer for the audience, which is a 60-minute one-on-one deep dive to help people uncover their signature story? Normally, sold for $297. Special offer for the audience. They get it for free. That's a really great offer. There's a link, you guys. The best way to get the link is to be subscribed to the Imperfect Adulting email list because then you can just click on it. But it is also in the show notes wherever you are listening or watching the show. Thank you very much, Victoria, for that generous offer. Are you ready for the final questions?
I am.
Let's do it. Do it. Do it. These are rapid fire just for fun. What is your favorite summertime activity?
Oh, swimming in the river.
Ooh, nice. All right. Very good. Very, very good. I love that. All right. Do you read or listen to books? Because now we can do both. And if so, do you have a recent book that you've read or listened to that you will share with us?
Yes, so I love listening to books. It definitely helps on the road trip venture. And I just finished More Than Enough by Elaine Welteroth.
Good job with the like title and author. Oh my gosh. I'm usually like when people ask me, I'm like, I'm reading this thing. It's about, whatever. It's by a person. This is why I don't have an English degree, by the way. I'm like, like who's the author? I don't know. When did they write the book? Not sure. What was it about? I'll give you a general synopsis. I'll probably. So anyway, all right, that was a wonderful recommendation. All right. What is a tool or a gadget that you use pretty much every day and that you think that everybody should use too? This can be an online thing, like a software or a thing, or it could be like a real thing that you use in like a gadget in real life. Anything. Open-ended.
I mean, I definitely use. I mean, does your phone count? Because I
It
feel
does,
like it has
sure.
everything. But like, if I had to give, like, because my phone has my calendar, it has some of my social medias, and it has all my different, apps these days, and how people, because people don't like basic text you or call you. People don't call you in the same way. But that was actually really fun on the road trip to have people call me because I was like, I can't text you. You need to call me.
So fun thing. I answer phone calls. Like I screen my calls like everybody because like no one actually calls me. Like when my phone rings, the only like I only answer it if it comes up with a name that I know, right? Like because otherwise I would be declining political conversation surveys all day long or whatever it is or extend. I don't even know what the people are calling. I don't know what they're calling about, but I don't answer. But anyway, I can answer the phone in my car because I just like, hit the button. But recently, like I needed to like answer a phone, like it, with the phone in my hand. Like somebody's like, I'm going to call you back. It was for like an appointment. And I was like looking at the phone and I was like, I don't even know. I don't know what's going to happen when this rings. I haven't done this in a long time. And then it came up and I was like, oh, I'm just going to push the button. That's what I'm going to do.
I mean, my steering wheel like has like Siri now connected to it, which I was like, that's fun because then I'll just click Siri on the steering wheel and Siri will call or take notes. I mean, I definitely
What are
was
they
like, hey,
calling that? They're calling those fast channels when the technology has direct buttons to specific things. I just got a word for that. I don't know if anybody else is using that word. Maybe not. I don't know. That's it, Victoria Carrington Chavez. This has been fantastic. Thank you for being a wonderful guest.
Thank you so much, Amy. Loved being here.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone. Signing off. The Imperfect Adulting podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.